RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Earthquake disaster anticipated with trainings and socialization. Economists affirmed government should expedite expanding and control exchange rate. Holiday makers stand it as volcano closes Bali airport. Now the news in detail. Indonesia is one of countries which experiences earthquake disaster, but the earthquake cannot be predicted when it happens. This was stated by Chairman of Data, Information and Population of National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho to media in Jakarta on Thursday afternoon. He said the government keeps on socializing to mitigate the disaster to people so that they are ready to face the disaster when it happens.
Kita gempa sampai sekarang belum bisa memprediksi kapan terjadi sarpas. Potensi ada.
Despite of the potential, we cannot predict when earthquake happens. Through trainings and socialization, people could anticipate it. Related to the seismograph and communication network, people could know 5 minutes after the earthquake what to do. Previously with tsunami in Aceh, we could not do that. Now with early warning system, people can be informed in 5 minutes. Because earthquake cannot be predicted, we inform the people what they should do if it happens.
Ya, setelah 5 menit, karena gempa tidak bisa diprediksi, makanya kita sosialisasi. Kalau terjadi gempa, apa yang sudah dilakukan?
Sutopo Purwonugroho also said National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, keeps cooperating with many countries to mitigate disasters such as United States, Russia, Japan, China, and some ASEAN countries. The mitigation exercises are implemented with civilians and military personnel. General Chairman of the Indonesian Economists Association, Darmi Nasution, has urged the government to speed up spending and control the exchange rate. He made the remarks during a gathering attended by President Joko Widodo, entrepreneurs, academicians, investor and capital market banking circles at Jakarta Convention Center in Jakarta on Thursday. At the gathering based on the theme, President Joko Widodo's response to economic challenges, he also expressed hope that the government will implement measures to restore economic growth and to fulfill future expectations. The gathering was also attended by Chairperson of the Presidential Advisory Council, Sri Adiningsih, National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti, Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan, and Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel. According to Nasution, there are 4 key issues that must be tackled by the government: the slowdown in economic growth, the prices and availability of basic commodities, the stability of value of the rupiah, and public savings. As drifting front, an Indonesian volcano has forced the cancellation of more than 100 flights and closed the airport on the tourist island of Bali, an official said on Friday, stranding thousands of holiday makers. 4 other airports, including the international airport on neighboring region Lombok Island, were also shut late Thursday as Mount Round in East Java province spewed clouds of ash, Transport Minister spokesperson Barata told AEV. This is for safety, said heading officials were checking the situation every few hours, but they did not know yet when the airports might reopen. Authorities raised the alert status at Mount Round 3,300 meter or around 10,800 foot volcano late last month to the second highest level after it began to spew lava and ash high into the air. The ash cloud forced Australian Airlines to cancel all flights in and out of Bali Friday during the holiday island's peak season. Bali is a popular holiday destination for Australians. The United Nations Office for Red Flags Coordination in Indonesia, UNORCID, published a new study on the value of Indonesian forests this week, advocating that greater conservation was crucial to Indonesian economic success. The report, Forest Ecosystem Valuation Study, was formally presented at a press conference on Wednesday to Nur Masrifatin, Director General for Climate Change Control, on behalf of the Minister of the Environment and Forestry, Fapan Sukdev, a UN Environment Programme Goodwill Ambassador who led the study, described the report as a snapshot of Indonesian forest. The report style is not the goal of a UNORCID word. The report documents what UNORCID has done to understand the value of ecosystem services across five provinces in Indonesia, he said. It also serves as an attempt to bring quantitative economic analysis to a subject that often puts thought in the ideals of environmentalism rather than hard numbers. In addition to their ecological, cultural, and spiritual value, Ajin Steiner, a UN Undersecretary General and Executive Director of UNEP, said forests play a crucial role in sustaining national economies and supporting livelihoods through the ecosystem services and employment opportunities they provide. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. State-owned PT Angkasa Pura I announced that flights serving the Surabaya-Lombok route remain suspended on Friday due to the eruption of Mount Rout in East Java. The company has closed five airports in Surabaya, Denpasar, Lombok, Jember, and Banyuwangi due to the mountain's eruption. Angkasa Pura spokesperson Lisa Anindya said in Surabaya on Friday that on Friday morning only CityLink was allowed to serve the Surabaya-Lombok route. For Friday morning, only CityLink is safe in the route. Angkasa Pura does not receive information on other airlines yet, she said. Lisa added that several flights from Yogyakarta to Bali were rerouted to Surabaya on Tuesday night until Friday morning. Angkasa Pura is also still waiting information whether Ngurah Rai International Airport has been opened or not, she says, quoted by Antara News Agency. Dozens of domestic and international flights from Igusti Ngurah Rai International Airport in Pasar, Bali had been suspended because of the eruption at Mount Rout in East Java. Co-General Manager of PT Angkasa Pura I at the airport, Igusti Ngurah Artika, said in Kuta on Friday that the airport was closed for all flights on Tuesday, and this was extended until 9:30 a.m. local time on Friday. Angkasa Pura is still compiling the number of flights that can operate this Friday because of the mountain's eruption, and predicted dozens of flights will be cancelled or rescheduled, he said, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Ardika added that 28 domestic and international flights were cancelled on Tuesday, and 15 domestic and international flights were suspended or rescheduled. He said has from the mountain's eruption had reached the airport runway. He added that his team would coordinate with all airlines serving Bali to handle the thousands of passengers that could not fly as a result of the airport closure. Indonesia and nine other ASEAN member countries welcomed ASEAN Economic Community AEC 2015, which will come into force on December 31, 2015. In ASEAN Economic Community, products, services, investment, labor, and capital will free flow with the principle opened free market. Director for ASEAN Economic Cooperation of Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Ina Krishnamurti, while giving an explanation at the Minister of Foreign Affairs Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that AEC is about strengthening the competitiveness among the ASEAN countries guided by four main pillars instead of trade liberalization. AEC is actually not trade liberalization. Its focus is on strengthening the competitiveness of each ASEAN country and ASEAN as a whole. AEC consists of four pillars. The first is single market or free market, but behind that, there is also a single production base. The second pillar is the competitiveness of the AEC. The keywords are competitiveness and the competitive economic area. The third one is equitable and fair economic development. The fourth pillar is the integration to the global economy.
Yang pilar keempat adalah integrasi pada perekonomian global.
Furthermore, Ina Krishnamurti said if the AEC has competitiveness, all ASEAN member countries can be integrated with the global economy. One of the goals to establish the ASEAN economic community is driven by external and internal development of the region. On the external side, Asia is predicted to become the new economic power supported by India, China, and ASEAN countries. Based on the World Bank report in 2014, which uses purchasing power parity or BBP and international dollar, ASEAN economies accounted for 6% of the global GDP after NAFTA accounted for 20%, European Union 17%, China 16%, and India by 7%. The last item, 146 Indonesian citizens in Greece who mostly work in the informal sector have returned to Indonesia as the impact of the financial crisis that has engulfed the country. Indonesian Foreign Minister's spokesman Armanata Kristiawanas in a press conference at the Minister's office in Jakarta on Tuesday said the Directorate for the Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities of the Foreign Ministry will oversee the repatriation process. I have no information on the repatriation of Indonesian citizens in Greece yet. There were 1,046 Indonesians in Greece. Most of them were working in informal sector. Some of them have returned to Indonesia. But whether the repatriation organized by the Indonesian embassy or they did it individually, we need to check that with the Directorate for the Protection of Indonesian Citizens Directorate. We knew some of them were in the process of returning back to Indonesia because the impact of the crisis in Greece is that most of the informal workers have lost their jobs. Furthermore, Armanata Nasir said the financial crisis being faced by the Greek government will have no effect on Indonesian economy because the value of cooperation in the field of trade between the two countries is good enough, namely $200 million per year. In 2001, when Greece joined the European Union and replaced its currency to euro, the country's economic situation is expected to continue to grow. However, in 2008, the European region financial crisis has made Greece unable to pay debt totaling $1.5 billion to the International Monetary Fund IMF and make it the first developed country to declare bankruptcy. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Drought and Disobedience Against North Korean Leader. Listener, the government of North Korea has requested medical assistance to the United Nations because the country is being hit by the worst drought since the last one century. The request was submitted on Wednesday, July 8, 2015, when North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and his generals visited the Palace of the Sun that holds the body of his grandfather and North Korea's founder Kim Il-sung. The visit was made in commemoration of 21 years over the death of Kim Il-sung. The two countries that have relations with North Korea, China, and Iran have expressed readiness to send humanitarian aid to North Korea. Meanwhile, South Korea will provide assistance if North Korea publishes the request. The worst drought in North Korea makes the harvest fail. Meanwhile, United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF, said that the severe drought that hit North Korea makes the country's children face a serious risk of exposure to disease and malnutrition. UNICEF reported that there are increased cases of diarrhea suffered by children in areas hit by the worst drought. This is due to the limited access to clean water and poor sanitation situation. The severe drought does not make North Korean government be patient with a number of media reports in its neighboring country, South Korea. On Thursday, July 9, 2015, North Korea expressed outrage because South Korean media highlighted the problem desertion and execution towards state officials that has been committed in North Korea recently. North Korean side considered the report as a Nazi-style propaganda to harm the image of North Korean government. There is speculation that the desertion is a sign of instability under North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. However, responses submitted by North Korea's official news agency, KCNA, mentioned that the media reports were rumors and lies. A South Korean television station, YTN, reported the desertion of three officials of the Office 39, a secret division of funds of North Korean regime. Meanwhile, South Korean news agency Yonhap also reported the desertion action by 10 North Korean officials. Indeed, it is still the media report and there has been no confirmation from the authorities in South Korea. One important thing that has been officially revealed by South Korean intelligence agency was that in May, North Korea's defense minister was deposed. He might be executed already because he rebelled and fell asleep when there was a military official event. NIS report also includes the execution of more than 10 North Korean officials who were regarded rebellious during the first half of 2015. If the execution does occur like what the intelligence reported, this means that there is mistrust among officials to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Instability in North Korea cannot be regarded inconsequential. Being angry with neighboring country, South Korea, for reporting the desertion could trigger Kim Jong-un to launch his guided missiles to regional countries. And listener, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on July 10, 1962. The world's first communication satellite, Telstar, orbited into space. Telstar is the name of a communication satellite and the first satellite that was orbited into space. Telstar communication satellite was an artificial satellite which was stationed in space with telecommunication purposes. Telstar 1 was launched on the top of Delta Tau rocket on July 10, 1962. The launching event was transmitted through space with the first television pictures, telephone calls, and fax images. On July 10, 1973, Bahama gains its independence. On July 10, 1973, Bahama Islands, which is located in the Atlantic Ocean east of America, gained its independence. The first European who came to the Bahamas was Christopher Columbus in 1492, and since then the Bahamas became the territory of Spain. The natives of the Bahamas were the Arawak Indians, who were eventually eliminated and became extinct. Initially in 1647, the Bahamas came under the British rule, then the first settlement of Europeans on the islands was established. In 1964, the Bahamas gained autonomy, and then in 1973, it's achieved fully independence. The Bahamas has become one of the famous tourist destinations in the world, and the country has largest foreign exchange earnings derived from tourism sector. We conclude with an event on July 10, 1985. Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior 1 ship is bombed and sinking in Auckland Harbor, New Zealand, by French secret agents. The Rainbow Warrior 1 was one of the name of ships that were operated by Greenpeace. Rainbow Warrior 1 was one of three ships that was used by Greenpeace to do protest actions to fight against environmental damage. On July 10, 1985, French Secret Service agents planted two bombs and sank the Rainbow Warrior. One crew member was killed. It was an instance when a government chose to respond to peaceful protests with deadly force, but peaceful protest has prevailed. Only two agents ever stood trial, Dominic Beard and Alan Mafford, who had posed as Swiss tourists, pled guilty to charges of manslaughter and willful damage, receiving sentences of 10 and 7 years. A UN negotiated settlement arranged that they were transferred to Haut Atoll, a French military base in France, Polynesia. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Focus from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today we'll talk about building borderline.
Focus, daily news and events.
Dear listener, Indonesian government started to change its performance in seven border areas with its neighboring countries that located in East Kalimantan, North Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara, and Papua. The border regions are targeted to become the new center of economic growth at the forefront of the country. President Joko Widodo, during Hilat close meeting related to the development of border territories on Tuesday, July 7th, at the presidential office in Jakarta, said that the border post should have export-import trade facility. President also said the recovery condition in the border regions throughout Indonesia is curiously implemented. According to President Joko Widodo, the area of cross-border checkpoint PPLB Antikong, West Kalimantan, has a great opportunity to serve the export-import activity. Unfortunately, the great opportunities has not been utilized yet optimally, whereas the Malaysian government has decided its border post in Tebedu, Sarawak, Malaysia, as an international port that serves export-import commodities. President asks all ministries and institutions should make coordination so the function of border area would be maximized to serve export-import of commodities. Construction of the facility in Indonesia's border regions should also be made better than the existing facilities in the border region of neighboring country. In addition to the International Business Center, President Joko Widodo also wants the development of traditional market facilities can be managed in a modern way in Antikong border region. According to President, the development of the region should be able to accommodate the vendors in the market. Meanwhile, Indonesian Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo said the program is initiated with ratification of 7 designs of border regions that will be constructed. The first step, the government started to build border region in Antikong, West Kalimantan, which bordered with Malaysia. The most important is the government target during a year, Indonesian border territories should be better than Malaysia, Philippines, Papua New Guinea, and Timor-Leste. In addition to repair, physical boundary and supporting facilities is also needed to be established. The 7 border posts will be completed with international trade centers. Minister of Public Work and Public Housing, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, said, in line with the design ratification, the development of border regions would soon be implemented. For the development of border region in Antikong, they will be constructed the route to the gate of the border. Public Work Ministry will also build some other facilities such as irrigation, boundary gate, waste management, and clean water supply. Meanwhile, West Kalimantan Governor Cornelis warmly welcomed the program. Antikong regional development like dreamy decades of West Kalimantan people that will soon be realized. The history will record the development program while the regional government ready to implement the task of the program. That was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published in Jakarta today, Friday, July 10, 2015. I'm Dalat Pani. Kompas Daily writes, businessmen asked to innovate. Indonesian President Joko Widodo assured businessmen that the economic policies taken will positively affect Indonesia's economic growth in the future. At the time of the weakening economy as it is today, businesses are expected to innovate. It was revealed by the President in a meeting entitled President's Economic Challenge. During the meeting, President Jokowi revealed that Indonesia's economy is now slowing as part of the economic cycle. The President also acknowledged the economic challenges will be more severe. According to him, the current national economy is in transition from consumption economy to production and consumption to investment. Economic growth relies on raw commodities should be left to switch to industrialization and downstream. But President Jokowi said economic growth is directed to two areas that require structural reform. Republika newspaper writes, the president says no magic wood in economy. President Jokowi, in an informal discussion with business world, said Indonesia's economy requires structural reforms to overcome the slowdown. But he said the reform must go through the process. The government cannot take shortcuts and there is no magic bullet to resolve the existing problems. According to Jokowi, Indonesia should not be stuck in the condition that experienced by other countries in the world that fails to maintain its economic growth. Media Indonesia daily writes the north part of Java is crowded by vehicles. Despite the existing of the 116.75 kilometers tall Palimanan Cikopo, the north coast of Java is expected to remain packed with vehicles this year, since travelers will return to some areas in Central Java and East Java. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti predicted the Lebaran 2015 homebound will start from Friday or 7 days before Eid al-Fitr. Approximately 1.5 million vehicles will leave Jakarta during the Eid al-Fitr. Therefore, to reduce the density of traffic, police closed about 200 U-turn locations along the path of the north coast. In addition, according to General Badruddin Haiti, to reduce the number of accidents in the north coast, the number of police personnel will be added and local transportation agencies will increase the traffic signs in a number of locations. Meanwhile, Koran Sindo writes, Corruption Eradication Commission KPK arrest three judges of administrative court. Three Medan Administrative Court judges were arrested on suspicion of bribery over the handling of a case in the governance North Sumatra province. The transaction is allegedly not the first time happened. Acting Deputy Chairman of Corruption Eradication Commission KPK, Johan Budi Sabto Pribowo ensured in the red-handed cut that took place in the office of Medan Administrative Court, the KPK arrested a lawyer. Chief Justice Hatta Ali condemned the actions of judges who accept briberies and ready to impose sanctions, while the Attorney General M. Prasetyo stated that the arrest by the Corruption Eradication Commission is related to the lawsuit of alleged corruption cases on North Sumatra budget for 2014 fiscal year, which was dealt with prosecutors. Well, listener, that was headlines for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia is one of countries which is experiences earthquake disaster, but the earthquake cannot be predicted when it happens. This was stated by Chairman of Data, Information and Public Relations of National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, to the media in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon. He said the government keeps on socializing to mitigate the disaster to people so that they are ready to face the disaster when it happens. General Chairman of the Indonesian Economists Association, Darmin Nasution, has urged the government to speed up spending and control the exchange rate. As different from an Indonesian volcano has forced the cancellation of more than 100 flights and closed the airport on the tourist island of Bali, an official said on Friday, stranding thousands of holiday makers. For other airports, including the international airport on neighboring region, Lombok Island, were also shut late Thursday as Mount Round in East Java province spewed clouds of ash, Transport Minister spokesperson Jay Bharata told AEP. The United Nations Office for Red Flags Coordination in Indonesia, UNORCID, published a new study on the value of Indonesian forests this week, advocating that greater conservation was crucial to Indonesian economic success. State-owned PT Angkasa Pura I announced that flights serving the Surabaya-Lombok route remained suspended on Friday due to the eruption at Mount Round in East Java. Dozens of domestic and international flights from Igusti Ngurah Rai International Airport in Denpasar, Bali, had been suspended because of the eruption at Mount Round in East Java. Co-chair manager of PT Angkasa Pura I at the airport, Igusti Ngurah Artika, said in Kuta on Friday that the airport was closed for all flights on Thursday, and this was extended until 9:30 a.m. local time on Friday. Indonesia and nine other ASEAN member countries will welcome the ASEAN Economic Community AEC 2015, which will come into force on December 31, 2015. 146 Indonesian citizens in Greece, who mostly work in the informal sector, have returned to Indonesia as the impact of the financial crisis that has engulfed the country. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Meet again in our segment Indonesian Wonder, a segment featuring Indonesian tourism, culinary arts and culture. Today, I invite you to travel to Yogyakarta for a closer look on Penting Sari Village tourism object, so stay tuned. Listener, Sleman in Yogyakarta is a paradise village for tourists. In Sleman Regency, there are currently more than 30 villages that can be visited. One of them, Penting Sari Tourism Village. This tourist village is blessed with beautiful natural mountain. The 103 hectares village area is a plateau with a landscape that resembles a peninsula. Penting Sari Village does offer comfort, beauty, and special arts performances. In addition, various activities such as outbound, plow rice fields, fishing, football, mud, and rice crops can also be enjoyed in the village. Penting Sari Village itself is located in the village of Umbul Harjo, Cangkringan, Subdistrict, Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta Province. The location is about 20 kilometers and it takes about 45 minutes from central Yogyakarta. To get into this tourist village, you will be charged around 55,000 rupees per person per day. This fee includes 3 meals a day and homestay cost. You are welcome to enter Penting Sari Village, a stretch of land that is still green, lush trees, accompanied by cocoa plantation, coffee and cloves. In addition, you can also see various fruit trees like birking, durian, mangosteen, banana and papaya. There are many exciting activities you can do when visiting the Penting Sari Tourist Village. One of them, trekking around the village. You can take a walk around Penting Sari Village, past the garden, barking and expanse of rice plants, as well as through the valley of the Kuning River and Pawon River. Not only enjoy rice fields and plantations, you can go further and watch a wide variety of interesting stories about the history of this village. Interestingly, when walking around the village, you have the opportunity to also visit the interesting tourist objects in the village, such as the Pancuran Sendang, Ponteng Caves, Batu Dakon, Kalipawon, Luweng, Tempuran, and Batu Persembahan. Each of these attractions has myths and its uniqueness. Pancuran Sendang, for example. The springs coming out from the edge of the cliff Kuning River is believed to cure various diseases and ageless. Many visitors wash their face or drink from this water source. Ponteng is a cave located in the southern village, precisely located between the confluence of the Pawon River and the Kuning River. According to local stories, ancient cave was often used by natives as a place for meditation and also a hiding place from the pursuit of the Dutch army. Approximately 300 meters from the Penting Sari village, you will find Pawon River. It is said the river is often used as a place to cook by the soldiers of Prince Diponegoro during the struggle against the Dutch. On the edge of the Pawon River, there are cadas besar stone. So no wonder if this rock called Luang Stone, which in Javanese language means the furnace. At the south end of the Pentang Sari village, Pawon River and Kuning River become one. The local community called it Tempuran. In antiquity, Tempuran is used as a place of meditation and to purify themselves. Currently, Tempuran can be a place to play Udavan. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Penting Sari Tourism Village. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you Surat Perintah 11 Maret, or Order of March the 11th, or known as Super Semar. Super Semar is a letter that was emerged when Indonesia was in a tense situation. However, the process on how Super Semar was finally signed by President Soekarno remains unclear. Every event always has two sides of stories. It also happens in Super Semar. What Indonesian people know until now is President Soekarno handed over his authority in Indonesia to Major General Suharto in 1966 through the letter of instruction. This letter contained an instruction for Suharto as the commander of the defunct International Security Agency or Pangkopkamtib to take any necessary actions to solve a very bad security situation at that time. Some of Indonesian historians said there are various versions of Super Semar, so that Super Semar script issued by President Soekarno at Bogor Palace was still investigated. Super Semar letter was delivered to Jakarta on March 12, 1966 at 1 a.m. local time, brought by Secretary of the Armed Forces Headquarters, Brigadier General Budiono. Super Semar letter was declared to be gone from the state archives when many Indonesian people started questioning the truth of the letter. Until now, nobody knows whether Super Semar is still kept in the state archives room. When we walk in the dark, we certainly cannot see where we are going. This is what happens to Super Semar, whose truth still walks in the dark. It is unknown until when the process of Super Semar letter making and its content will be revealed, because until now, all figures who were involved in it have passed away.
Even so, Indonesian people keep running political life in a democratic way. Like two different sides of coins, but in the same shape, truth is sometimes better not to be revealed. This is what may happen in Super Semar. In one of his speeches, Sukarno told the Indonesian young generation that the struggle of the Indonesian youth would be harder than the struggle of fighting against colonizers. It is because they have to struggle to gain independence from their own people. The big question for Indonesian people cannot be unanswered, indeed, by the current administration. However, the hard effort to awaken the spirit of fighting among Indonesian people is still instilled and awakened again. The unrevealed truth of Super Semar will not hamper Indonesian people to keep living the independent life. Super Semar will still become a history in the life of the Indonesian nation. Listener, that ends today's miscellany on Super Semar Remains in the Dark. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening. Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today, we present you an Indonesian religious singer, Haddad Alwi. To begin today's religious edition, we present you a song entitled Kekasih Allah by Haddad Alwi. Happy listening.
Ya Rasulullah, salamun alayhi. Ya Habiballah, salam alayhi. Nawrah ilayya, ya Rasulullah, atfan alayya, Habiballah. ذكر الإله زيت إليها من قلبي أحمد نسقى ونور شام من قلبي أحمد ذاك kasih Allah juga semesta, salawat salam kita semua. Jalan hidupnya pancarkan cinta, kasih dan damai ajarannya.
Listener, in the fasting month of Ramadan 2015, many singers in Indonesia released religious albums. One of them is Haddad Alwi, who was born in Surakarta or Solo, Central Java, March 13, 1966. His album, Cinta Rasul, is the best-selling religious album throughout the history of the Indonesian music. This album has been reproduced in various versions and volumes. When the album Cinta Rasul Volume 1 was released in 1999, there was a surprising phenomenal change in the Indonesian children music industry. The position of pop albums, which dominated the Indonesian music market at that time, was replaced by the religious pop Cinta Rasul album. The songs of Salawat or prayers to the Prophet Muhammad of Haddad Alwi and Sulis reach all regions in the country. Now, in Ramadan 2015, Haddad Alwi releases a religious album which contains 10 songs. Alright listener, before we move on, let's listen to a song entitled Puasa. Enjoy!
Panas puasa, alun azan, tanda buka, basahi jiwa. Ku sirami kering sepi di ujung hari, lambat menanti. Lagi terimalah puasa hamba, ya Allah ya Rabbi, walau masa mengikat awal.
Listener, the song that you just listened by Haddad Alwi is about fasting, hoping that Allah accepts the full month fasting. Haddad Alwi often performs duet with an Indonesian female singer, Sulis. One of songs performed by Haddad Alwi that has a very deep meaning is Al-Iktiraf. Besides, Haddad Alwi also sings with Rara Tarmizi through the song Jokowi, Jangan Kau Ragu, and Salam Ramadan with Gita Gutawa. Listener, to end the program, here are more songs by Haddad Alwi entitled Rahmat Quran and Satu Bintang. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Jadikan Quran bacaan yang kami cinta di malam dan siang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.